Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Dan's not used to answering questions at the start of the podcast, so I probably threw him off there. But anyways, this is the edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, of course, as you heard. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for a new one of those tomorrow morning while you're, you know, while you're over there just kind of hanging out, checking things out, you know, see how it goes. Of course, while you are at sportstimeradio.com, you should hit the link and get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is, I kind of gave it away there, but it's at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
Yes, I am. Dan and I were talking off the air that I had an opportunity to trade John Wall much earlier in the NBA season, and I didn't. And I'm actually replacing him right now on my fantasy team because, in case you are a John Wall owner, he's going to be out for a couple months, so you might want to go in and find whatever replacement you can. And since we have a bigger league, I had to settle on I settled on T.J. McConnell because he'll at least hand out some assists for me. So hopefully it doesn't bury me too bad. I believe I was hanging around in ninth place, which puts me just one spot out of the playoff. Yeah, no, not anymore. Yeah, I'm gonna go bye bye. So we'll have to see. So, but well, hey, you know, at least you've been doing better. Your team was on the upward track, right?
Yep, I'm above 500 in seventh place.
Oh, look at
that. And I just picked up Tony Snell for Dougie Sherman.
So you swapped out one of your guys for one of your other guys?
Yeah.
Because in case you don't know, Dan loves Tony Snell. So, you know, those fun things. But, you know, since we kind of accidentally more or less started off on the NBA boat here, I heard you know, obviously the big talk is a lot of discussion, Dan, because you know you have to know who won and who lost a trade. So they're talking about, you know, Blake Griffin coming to Detroit, and I thought it was kind of interesting. There were actually some, I think they were former players, complaining about the Clippers not being loyal to him, and I just kind of find it difficult to believe that when you were getting, you know, you're going to get $171 million, that loyalty is really all that important. You know, they're paying you a huge sum to be a basketball player. You know, you signed the deal knowing there was a possibility that somewhere down the line you could be traded. This is kind of baffling. You know, Dan, maybe you explain that to me better. What did I miss with these guys?
I mean, I can see that, where you would think finding a guy for that much money and then just the way things have gone, it seemed like he would be on that team. But, I mean, loyalty or not, let's be honest, Rivers show, and something's not working out. So either Doc goes or Blake goes, and obviously Doc's not going anywhere.
So, yeah, you know, and of course LeBron had to chime in, and it was just kind of like, shut up. You know, it's like, just please, you know, like he used something like, you know, not labeling Griffin a snake, and I don't think anybody's ever said that about the guy. You know, I mean, obviously there were some questions. When you punch an assistant equipment manager, there's always going to be questions. You know, there's just no way around that. And you're also looking at a guy who, you know, if you look at his career stats, has been very injury prone. You know, so there are going to be questions, and you have to allow people to ask these questions. You know, you can't come out and cry and, you know, defend every one of these guys. And, you know, this is, Dan, this is my other problem with the more or less new NBA, you know, because, like, if this would have happened in the, you know, the Bird Johnson and then leading up to the Jordan era, if you would have asked one of those guys about this trade, none of them would have given a rat's you-know-what about it, and they would have just been worried about their next game. So, you know, why do I care what LeBron James, who plays for another team, you know, I mean, I get it. He is a GM, so you want his comments because he can legally make them because he doesn't carry the title and he's not tampering. But why do I care what LeBron James thinks about a trade involving two teams that he doesn't play for?
Yeah, well, I mean, it looks like, you know, he did mention that it's a business deal, and, you know, that's part of it. When a player
it's a business deal involving him, because the Clippers are trying to clear salary cap space to offer him a deal next year. You know, so, I mean, if he wants to blame anybody for the trade, can't he blame himself?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think you might like this one a little bit more from the Cavs, air quotes, coach, Tyronn Lue, because the ad pop goes away. You know, he mentions that they've got their own things to handle and get better at, so he's focusing on getting a win.
No. Yeah, it's humorous, isn't it? That, you know, yeah, that the coach is focusing on getting a win and LeBron is talking about the trade.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and, you know, he did mention that Morris Play could help him, which, you know, to me, I think we talked about that last night when you said a big deal trade and you said Blake Griffin's name. I thought legitimately he was, I guess you can't really keep tax on the Cavs, so I guess that was out of the question, but. I mean, to me, a blockbuster deal would have been sending him to Cleveland or, you know, like I said, the Celtics. You know, you mentioned he's not really a three-point shooter. LeBron isn't the biggest three-point shooter to begin with either. And the rest of the guys on the team seem to shoot threes all day. He would have been a great fit on that team.
Do you think maybe LeBron's just a little bitter because they didn't make the move? Because it would have had to been Kevin Love, you know, for Blake Griffin. And I'm sure, you know, the Cavs are, you know, since Kevin Love is obviously clearly the most hated guy on the team there, you know, do you think he's maybe just a little bitter because that didn't happen?
No, I think the media focuses way too much on him. And, you know, you've got to wonder in the deal of broadcast deals, you know, was he involved in the, you know, the boardroom decisions where, you know, maybe not even that. I just don't get it why if something happens in the NBA, you know, down to someone breaking a nail to, you know, a major trade, why we're so quick to go to LeBron James for his opinion on it. You know, because that's what it stems from. It's not so much him talking about it, and I'm not getting all defensive on him, but, you know, why is the quote out there? Because some dumbass reporter asked him.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I think is a little annoying. And it kind of makes you wonder, is LeBron, you know, going to retire eventually? Obviously he will. I think it'll be good for him to stay in the game, maybe owning a team. But you've got to imagine, why own a team? Make Silver retire and, you know, he's the next man in line for that job. Because the way they treat him, so that's essentially what he is, you know, I feel like he's being groomed for. You know, there's no way LeBron's going to have a TV deal because that will, you know, won't even equal any kind of money for his Nike. I don't remember if he's got a lifetime deal, but, you know, whatever his shoe contract is. a TV deal for him, broadcasting would be, you know, pennies, and I don't think he would like to travel going from, you know, state to state or whatever. But, you know, can you, I mean, seriously, can you imagine him being the commissioner one day? I could see it.
Wouldn't they have to move the league offices to California?
Why not?
But, well, I don't know, is he, you know, being groomed to be commissioner, or is he being groomed to be president of the players union?
I thought he was that already.
No, I think he, well, I know Chris Paul is vice president. I'm not sure. I don't think LeBron is president. He was involved last year. I don't know if he's still involved this year, but, you know, that could be, you know, I mean, I would love to see him as commissioner, because then he would actually have to work against the players in certain situations, and I would love to know how he would handle that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, could you imagine LeBron trying to suspend a guy?
For flopping?
So, yeah, you know, or for fighting or for whatever they did. But apparently, I guess one of the things that could make the Clippers attractive to LeBron is obviously it's in Los Angeles. Everybody knows he's kind of leaning to go to California. But the way they're set up is they could not only bring LeBron in, but they could probably bring in his choice of friend. If he wanted one friend to come along and play with him, they would be able to sign that person as well. So, it may be a little attractive. And if they do end up moving on from like the Lou Williams and DeAndre Jordan, who wouldn't fit playing with LeBron, neither of these guys would have any success, you know, in that situation, because Lou Williams needs the ball as a point guard and Jordan can't get his own shot. It wouldn't help him at all. That would open up even more cap room for them. You know, they could add LeBron and two of his friends. So, you know, it could be an attractive place where he says, hey, you know, you come here, tell us who you want, we'll go get them as well. You know, and I mean, obviously their owner has money. You know, the guy paid, what, $2 billion just to buy the Clippers. So, you know, it appears that's what they're trying to set up. I don't know if they'll accomplish it or not, but, you know, there were a lot of teams left hanging last time. Remember, the Bulls tried to make salary cap room to fit LeBron in last time, and when he took Miami, you know, it kind of sinks the other teams. So, you know, if the Clippers don't get the deal good done, they could be a lottery team for a while, especially out west. But I don't know. I guess it's worth the gamble to them because, you know, they weren't going to win – as advertised. You know, they tried that, it didn't work.
Yeah, do you think he could play with Doc Rivers, though? I mean, you know, looking at their their cap figures, Austin Rivers has 825 this year and roughly 12.5 mil for next year. And then Danilo Gallinari, he's 20 this year, 20.5, 21.5 next year, 22 for 19. So they definitely have to move him. And DeAndre Jordan, I didn't think he was that great to be getting $22 million this year and 24 next year. So,
yeah,
you know, like you said, I could see them definitely moving. If they can move Jordan and then Gallinari, they could, you know, bring in LeBron and, like you said, a couple guys, whoever they want. My question is, can he play with Doc Rivers?
Well, you know, I mean, I guess the other question would be, would Doc Rivers be there? You know, I mean, what's the possibility of Doc hanging on, you know, and, you know, I mean, I think obviously, you know, any coach would love to coach LeBron James, because obviously it improves your one loss record very much, but, you know, would they keep Doc around? I mean, if part of LeBron's deal is saying Doc's got to go, you know, we wouldn't know that, but Doc would have to go, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that's just one of those things. But locally, Dan, here, it actually was reported earlier in the day. You know, everybody likes to jump the gun and be the first ones to get out on you know, the Twitter and the Facebook and all these report these things. And it was reported that the Bulls had traded Nikola Mirotic to the New Orleans Pelicans, but, oh, not so fast, Dan. The deal was set up for the Bulls to bring back, some Bulls fans may remember, Omer Asik and a first-round pick in return for Mirotic. But Mirotic wants his $12.5 million option picked up for next season that's in his contract. Now, the Pelicans right now aren't sure that they wanted to do that. So the deal never happened, even though it was reported as happening. You know, with the way NBA salaries are right now, Dan, 12.5 doesn't seem like a lot for a player like Mirotic. Why do you think the Pelicans kind of balked on it, and do you think they'll work this out?
I honestly think they'll work it out. I mean, Cousins is out. I don't know if they fill the same role, but that's pretty much, like you said, that's a steal.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be quick. It's
kind of humorous that, you know, the holdup in the deal is, you know, Mirotic, by having the $12.5 million picked up, Mirotic would get his what they call bird rights, which means he could get a max deal from the Pelicans. I understand he would like the money guaranteed, and the Pelicans could use it so they don't have to use an exception for him next year as a free agent. But let's face it, no team in any league is giving Nikola Mirotic a max deal, regardless of what the NBA salary cap is. So I don't know how important that is to this deal, but it's it's kind of interesting, and I would like to know a little more about the first round pick, because, you know, if it's protected, it's not that good of a deal, because you're getting a Sheik who's owed $25 million through next season, and he's not going to play behind Lopez. He's just going to be a bench guy, you know, unless they can ship him off somewhere else. If it's a protected draft pick, this isn't a very good deal for the Bulls. They could probably get better.
Yeah, well, I think one of the reasons the Pelicans didn't want to pick it up is they're already going to be over the cap next year. I believe the cap is 119. And then you've got that. For next year, they're at 126. The cap, let me roll back down. I'm trying to be quick. The luxury tax threshold is 119. And the tax apron is 125. So, you know, I really have to start doing my digging in the financials of the sport. But, either way, they're about a million over. So that would put them, you know, roughly $13, $14 million over the luxury tax for next year if they were to pick up that option.
You know, with the cap as high as it is, how the hell do you go over it? You know, I mean, it's completely out of control. They should be slapped in the face for going over it.
Yeah. Well, obviously, the big money is going to Anthony Davis, but I didn't realize, Drew Holiday is signed for 2021, and he's getting $25.5 million this year, 26. 26 and a half for the next 3 years, and then 27 in 2021. So, I'll be honest. I never really heard much about this guy until this season, and that's only because the Bulls have his brother on their team.
So, it's odd with what some of these guys make. So,
because when you go there, the next guy on the list, you know, obviously besides Anthony Davis, is Solomon Hill getting 12.5, averaging over the next 3 years. DeMarcus has 18 mil, but he's unrestricted this year. And like you mentioned,
oh wow,
Omar, You know, he's got 11 million for next season in the 2019. So, you know, not horrible. But after that, it's each one more. And then, you know, it's just, it's kind of strange how their structure is. You know, 2019 and 2021, they start getting, you know, they're under the cap again, but next year is just a bad year for them. Pick up his option, they'd have to get rid of him. Yeah, but I mean, even that with Oshik on there, the difference is if he were to go to the Bulls, would be a million, so they'd really only be like a mil or two over the luxury tax. So I don't really see the issue with why the issue on their end.
Oh, excuse me. So yeah, you know.
Oh, did I just bore you?
No. Oh, I just, you know, that normally that happens at the start. I always have that one yawn that comes out right before we start for some reason. And this time it waited about 20 minutes before we got going. So just one of those
things.
I did hope that you got out there and beat the curve and picked your guy up. But Jabari Parker comes back Friday. Are you excited? I think you were all in when he was a rookie, if I remember right. That was, what, 2-3 seasons ago now. Are you all in on Jabari coming back and being of some help to Milwaukee as they try to get things righted here?
Well, I mean, I would assume, like, with today's game and most of these guys that come back, he's going to be restricted. But they did have a nice little, I wouldn't say beating, but they gave the Bulls a nice little mini beating last night. I think they won by 15 points or something. But I do think that he can definitely assist and kind of help get them back on track. At least I'm hoping so.
Yeah, you know, I guess you wonder. I mean, obviously, if he's healthy and if he can stay healthy, you know, because this has been a gigantic problem for him with, you know, what I think, what is he, 2 years in or 3 years in, and he's been hurt every year. So.
Yeah. Well, and Milwaukee is one of those teams when, you know, if we were to just look, put them down on paper, you're like, oh, wow, this is, you know, especially in the East, this is a team that's going to be, you know, they should be at minimum 5 spot, maybe even hit the, you know, the 3-4. But, you know, the last couple of years, they're just kind of hanging out around, you know, the 8 seed, you know, and kind of hanging out of the 9-10. So I'm not a huge Bucks fan or anything, but with the team that they've put together, I just think they should be playing a lot better and winning a lot more games.
No, you're okay. I'm having it's are we sure it's not Wednesday? Because I'm having technical internet difficulties now. So, you know, just that fun crap to deal with. But we'll see.
No,
hopefully we don't get thrown off. Hopefully we don't get thrown off the air here. So we'll see how this works out. But you know, it's one of those things you've always kind of wondered what this guy would be like if we could get a healthy season out of him. I mean, obviously, you know, they have Antetokounmpo, who's turned into one of the best players in the NBA while Parker's been out. You just wonder, you know, if he's ever going to be healthy to contribute and what the, you know, I mean, they seem to have a pretty young, athletic, you know, team that's on the rise. And, you know, like I said, you just wonder if he's ever going to be part of it. He's kind of Derrick Rose light, isn't he?
Yeah, pretty much. But he doesn't have the same mouth.
Yeah. Well, that's just because, you know, he hasn't made the money yet where he can talk about retiring and, you know, moving on to all the other things that he wants to do with his life.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have the MVP, I guess you would say.
he hasn't won one of those yet. So we'll have to see. But, yeah, I thought it was, you know, because, I mean, I keep thinking, you know, I remember the more of the, you know, the Jabari Parker coming out, you know, from college where there was talk about, you know, how talented he was. And I think, what was he, the number? Was he the number two pick, I think?
I don't remember.
So, you know, yeah, I thought he was number one or number two. And, it, you know, it's just kind of like, okay, well, you know, why, you know, you kind of, obviously you kind of expect things out of, you know, these guys. So,
well,
you know, that's
what you
wait for.
I would almost, you can't obviously, you know, there's no balance on this one, but almost like Andrew Wiggins, I just pulled a Mr. Fantasy. Oh, but, you know, I almost put them kind of in a similar boat. I still think Wiggins is playing well, but you just expect a lot more out of him, you know.
Yeah, so and you wonder, I mean, you know, very, very similar situations now. You know, Jimmy Butler was brought in up there, and, you know, you wonder if it's taken a little bit away from Wiggins. You know, and now in this situation, you know, obviously Antetokounmpo has become a full-fledged NBA star. So you've got to wonder, you know, how it'll work with Parker.
Well, and you've got to imagine for Parker that it almost has to become like the Steven Strasburg situation where he can just kind of come back into things. And being that, you know, Antetokounmpo has kind of taken up the star status, that, you know, maybe he could fly slightly under the radar and kind of, you know, recoup and get back to where I think everyone expects him to be. I'm sure even himself.
Yeah, you know, you hope. I mean, it's just been, you know, I don't know if I want to call it sad or how you want to kind of, you know, kind of look at it. But, I mean, we've never really... Yeah, you know, we've never really seen, you know, what he can do. You know what I mean? We're just kind of, you know, kind of sitting around waiting. You know, it's like, okay, well, you know, and he was the number two overall pick, by the way. I had to I had to look that up. But, you know, it's weird, Dan, is it was just 2014, and for the life of me, I can't remember who was picked in front of him.
Joel Embiid?
Yeah, well, I looked it up here. We should have known because it was Wiggins. It was that draft. Embiid was third.
At least I was in that realm.
Yeah, but, you know, looking here, you know, in 3 years, Wiggins has played in 152 games. This is his fourth season he's yet to play. So,
Jabari, you meant?
Yeah, Jay. I said. Well, sorry. I said. What I said? Andre Wiggins, didn't I? I mean, oh, you know. But yeah, you know. I mean, he did average 20 points last season when he played. So you know, if they could get that guy back, you know, you add him to that mix, it could be you know, it could be a heck of a combination there. So.
You know, maybe that would open up the floor for Snell to actually start nailing his more threes.
Shoot some threes. Tony Snell could shoot threes then. That would put just what Dan would from him now.
So. Well, he actually had more over the last 2 weeks or month. He actually had more, you know, shots made, three-pointers than Dougie McBuckets. So that was, I had to go with one or the other, and, you know, he's playing a little better right now.
Yeah, I saw, you know, some of the Knicks the other day and got to see Dougie play. I always chuckle when I see him because I, you know, I just think, hey, that's Dan's guy.
He was awesome in the summer league that first year. It was fun to watch.
I remember that. you know, and then sadly he had Tom Thibodeau as a coach who doesn't like to play rookies. So that was kind of the end of that. But
Well, and then they brought in the guy that was supposed to work with rookies, and he still didn't play. I didn't understand that one either.
Yeah, he still didn't play. Switching switching gears here, Dan, you know, we had talked the other day that, you know, about how I'm going to get to run the fantasy draft for Mr. Fantasy and I's Money's team. So I hunted up this article about five rookie hitters that you need to draft this year. So I want to help you out, Dan, because the first guy here, the situation, actually, they were talking about it earlier. Now, the first rookie hitter you need, Dan, is Ryan McMahon, who's a first baseman in the Colorado Rockies organization. Obviously, the first thing I'm going to tell people is the Rockies apparently are in talks with Todd Frazier to come in and play first base. So if they sign Todd Frazier, I wouldn't draft this guy. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how
yeah,
that works out.
I thought they had Mark Reynolds playing first base.
No, he's a free agent. So,
oh, there you go.
The second guy, and I don't know much about this guy, but they like Willie Calhoun of the Texas Rangers. He apparently is 5'8 and 187. He's 23 years old. He has a 520 career slugging percentage and an 8.68 OPS. So, again, I don't know much about him, but he's one of the names they suggest. If you're going to check him out, he's an outfielder. So, but they you know, like everybody guesstimate their stats. They think if he gets 400 at-bats, he'll hit 270-plus with 20 home runs. So,
what about extra juice
now,
on the ball?
They didn't add any of that in. Now, the other guy, this is one of the guys, I've heard people talk about this guy for a few years. Another outfielder, Ronald Acuna, who's in the Braves organization. I think it would be a bit of a jump. He played mostly in high A with a little bit of experience in double A and triple A, but he was the Arizona Fall League MVP. And, he hit 287 in high A. He went to double A and hit 326. And then as he jumped up to triple A, he hit 344. So the average kept getting better the higher he went up. The interesting thing is he's just 19. And I don't know how many 19-year-olds are going to be, you know, at the big league level. This is one of those guys, I think, if you have a keeper league, you jump on this guy and you hang on to him. But, you know, at 19, I'm not quite as sold there. And then they wrap up the list with a couple of Tampa Bay Rays. First is Willie Adams, who's their shortstop. 365 on-base percentage, lifetime 410 slugging percentage, 30 or more doubles in each of the last two seasons. They describe his power as developing. So we'll have to see. They think he could be a upper teen to a low 20 home run hitter, and then with 10 or more stolen bases. And they round out their list with Jake Bowers, who's a first baseman in the Tampa system. Interestingly, right now on all the Tampa Bay depth charts, they have Brad Miller listed as their starting first baseman. But Miller is more of a middle infielder type of guy. Second short, can play some third. Bowers was actually added to Tampa's 40-man roster this season. He does also have the ability to play some outfield. They mention, you know, that if he can get some, you know, some regular at-bats, he should have a pretty good stat line. He hit 59 doubles combined over the last two seasons. So, again, another guy with developing power, which is what you want out of these guys. Now, Bowers is just 22. So, you know, another young guy, you wonder if maybe he's going to start in the minors and they're going to try to work him up. you know, it's, you know, like he's a 267 career hitter in the minors, 362 on base with a 412 OPS. So, you know, we'll have to see. Oddly, for first baseman, he has 30 steals over the last 2 years. So that kind of puts him in line, you know, with comparisons to Paul Goldschmidt and Will Myers. Nah, not quite sure if you want to go quite that far with these guy, that guy. You know, that's a big crowd to jump right in as a rookie. Hey, you're the next Paul Goldschmidt or Will Myers. But, you know, yeah, I guess you need guys to compare them to. But, yeah, those are the five guys. Let me get the head of the article right. Five rookie hitters you should draft for the 2018 season. And it's a Roto Experts article, so it's by the guys who play fantasy for a living. To be honest with you, and Dan knows this, I don't have much luck when I've listened to these guys. They actually buried my football season 1 year when I followed some of their draft tips, and it killed my year because they were wrong on every guy, and literally wrong on every guy. And then when people called them out on it, they denied admitting that you should take these guys. So, you know, like everything, do your own research, you know, see what you think. These tips are really just there to help you a little bit, or, you know, give you, you know, push you in the right direction if you don't see all, you know, if you're, you know, because obviously we don't see a lot of the Rockies or, you know, the Tampa Bay Rays. You're, you know, you're not going to see a ton of those games. So, you know, it'll give you a little something to kind of look over and, you know, check out. But yeah, definitely don't just blindly follow it. I learned that the hard way, thinking, oh yeah, this guy's a fantasy expert, he's been doing it for a living, you know, I'm just going to kind of take his advice and go, oh yeah, okay, this is what we're doing, and I'm going to go this route and blah, blah, blah. And I ate it big time. Just hugely, you know, following their rankings and their sleepers and, you know, guys they thought were going to have fantastic years that didn't work out. So yeah, I would never support, you know, anything like that, just as much as I wouldn't support listening to us. You know, if I tell you to pick a guy, run away from him because he's probably going to get hurt. That's just kind of how stuff works out for me. I don't know why that is, but anytime I'm fantastically into a guy, or I think this is going to be you know, the next guy to do something, he ends up on the injured list. So I don't get that. So we'll have to see how it works out. But you know, just one of those odd little things that interest me for some reason. I saw that Nori Aoki is going to get to continue his baseball career, but he's actually returning to Japan. He signed a 3-year deal with the Yakut Swallows. So he's going to make $9.19 million for 3 years playing over there. As you know, obviously he started there with the, you know, the name Norichika Aoki. You probably could have guessed that he got his start in the Japanese league. So he's, you know, he's returning back there. You know, there was also some talk that if, you know, Ichiro can't get a contract, he would return there to play. So I'm really hoping somebody signs Ichiro, because I still think he could be, you know, a quality fourth outfielder, even if he's just a limited in bats and a defensive replacement, he, you know, he's still better than a lot of the guys who are hanging out there. And then I know Dan and I mentioned it just briefly yesterday that the Giants added Gregor Blanco to their roster on a minor league deal. And I don't know if they're related at all or anything, but today they added Andres Blanco on a minor league deal with, you know, the invite to spring training. So I don't know if your last name has to be Blanco to get signed by the Giants or how that works out, but, you know, in back-to-back days, they've added two guys with the same last name. And, you know, obviously it's not I don't think Blanco is a common name. Maybe, of course, I don't know better. So, you know, situations like that, I just kind of shut up and move along. But, you know, he's a veteran utility infielder. I think he was a Philly last year, I want to say. So, you know, they'll add him to that infield mix and, you know, have to see if they, you know, I know there was talk they were looking to add multi-position guys. You know, the hot thing, of course, is the super utility deal. So, you know, they added him. He can play second, third, and short. And then they added Alan Hansen, who was a White Sox last year, very early in the offseason, and he can actually play second, third, short, and all three outfield positions. So it seems like that's the way the Giants are kind of going and adding, and, you know, we'll have to see. So, yeah, some more, you know, more minor signings. No big signings. We're still sitting around waiting for that big signing to, you know, to kind of happen. You know, I don't know when or if it's going to happen, but Dan and I will be here to talk about it when it finally does. At least we think we will.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, and I was going to say with the Giants, I think, you know, the minor league invites for guys who can play multi-positions, it's not so much searching for the super utility. But, you know, second base and shortstop, you never know what's going to happen with Brandon Crawford, and I forget who their second baseman is now. And then don't remember his third base. Oh, he's still there. You know, he's had some ups and downs, and, you know, he might need to be taken out, or, you know, you need guys that are going to be able to fill multi-positions in case you have to sit, you know, one of the infielders.
So, yeah, and I think this deal happened yesterday just after you and I went off the air. You know, there's been reports that the Royals are trying to make some salary room to bring Eric Hosmer back. And yesterday they made a deal with the A's to help that. They sent Ryan Butcher, who's a left-handed reliever. The A's were looking for some left-handed help in their bullpen. And Brandon Moss, going back to Oakland. In return, the Royals get Jesse Hahn, who's been a fourth or fifth starter for some teams, but I believe his real role is probably middle relief, which is where, you know, the Royals will use him. But they got a minor league righty by the name of Heath. I'm going to guess this is Phil Meyer. He's 23 years old, and, you know, Dan, I mean, obviously – I didn't know diddly squat about this guy, so I pulled up his stats, and I'm wondering if maybe the Royals got a sneaky surprise in this deal. Last year he pitched in Double-A. He made 29 starts. He was 11-5 with a 3.49 ERA over 149 and two-thirds innings. You know, he does, you know, comparatively walk a lot of guys. He struck out 115 and he walked 51. That's a tad high. It's not super high, but it's a little high. And, I'm just kind of wondering if, you know, maybe they're going to get a sneaky middle-of-the-rotation starter out of this deal in a couple years. You know, and we're going to be looking back going, where the hell do Royals get this guy that's winning 10 or 12 games a season, you know, as their three starter? Because, you know, his numbers are really good and really solid. And I'm wondering, you know, obviously there was a reason the A's added him into this deal, but, it seems like it kind of swings the deal the Royals' way. But what the hell do I know? I mean, I know Butcher is good. And he pitches all the time. He pitched in 71 games last year. You know, he's got a 2.89 ERA coming out of the bullpen. But Moss was really just a salary throw-in. And I know the A's have even told him that they're not sure what they're going to do with him. You know, because they've got Matt Olson is scheduled to play first base full-time. And Chris Davis apparently is going to occupy the DH role. So, you know, I mean, you know, Moss did hit 22 home runs, so he's still a decent power guy, but you just wonder if, you know, he's going to get any at-bats there. Who knows? You know, maybe they'll move him on, but now, do you think this gets the Royals closer to bringing Hosmer back, I guess, is the ultimate question here?
I would think so. I mean, I don't remember where they are at with the luxury tax. But even with a guy like Hosmer and, you know, almost getting, I know he's not going to break a hometown deal, but I, you know, again, here's another situation where I'm surprised they don't pull like a, some sort of Bobby Bonilla, Bonilla deal where you pay him for consecutive years after his contract is over. I mean, because if he stays with the Royals, you've got to imagine he ends his career there. And that, you know, you can kind of keep bringing them back on, hey, you remember that $2 million we're giving you every year for the next 10 years? Can you come stop by and hang out with George Brett for a couple hours? You know, but I think it would be nice for the Royals to be able to keep one of their guys. You know, technically Lorenzo Cain, it would have been cool for him to stay there. But, you know, he was picked up and or brought through the system with Milwaukee. So he essentially went back home, so to speak. But, you know, I think one of the solid pieces on a baseball team to always kind of build around is your first baseman. And not just because that's what the Cubs kind of started with, but the first baseman always seems to be a key player on your team that you can always build around. And so I think if they're able to land him, because obviously it's not going to work out for him going to San Diego.
Yeah, you got to wonder, I mean, if, say, the money is the same and the deal is the same and, you know, all that kind of stuff you got going on there, he goes back to Kansas City, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, because, I mean, you would think, I mean, yeah, because, I mean, say he goes back to Kansas City and it's a, you know, it's a seven-year whatever, you know, 100 blah 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 million dollar deal that he gets, 120, 140. Basically he retires there. He's going down in history with George Brett, right? As one of the long standing Royals.
Yep, without a pine tar incident.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's gotta be something you're looking, you know, you would look forward to, right?
Yeah, and, you know, it shows, going back to the NBA, some loyalty, right?
Yeah.
So I think, so, you know, when it comes to baseball, I'm more of a sucker for, you know, it's almost like the romantic thing, kind of staying with who brought you there. Or, you know, it's almost like a marriage, so to speak, and instead of the big breakup, kind of staying together. And, you know, while he may not be a huge superstar, he's definitely, I think, moved his way into closer to a household name. And I still think that gives you some attraction to Kansas City, especially if they're in a position to, you know, maybe sign another free agent in the next 2 years. And I think it helps keep them significant in the AL Central, especially knowing that the White Sox are definitely at least 2 to 3 years away from, you know, taking over that division, possibly, and, you know, really competing with the Twins and the Indians. There's another team in that division, but I keep forgetting who they are.
The Tigers?
The Tigers, yeah.
Detroit? You know, there you go.
Yeah.
So, well, I understand.
They're getting rid of everybody. Get rid of everybody.
Well, yeah, they're in rebuild mode as well. You know, like, it's kind of humorous that it appears that three teams in that division are in rebuild mode.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just kind of funny. So.
But it is interesting, like with the White Sox situation. Being that Kenny finally let go of the reins, I don't think Rick Hahn had much choice. He did great with the deals that he made, but, you know, from the way it looks, I feel like he really had no other choice than but to do what he had to do. And I don't think it has anything to do with, oh, well, that's because the Cubs did it that way, which I think would be, I kind of think would be really stupid if that was, you know, his reasoning behind, you know, kind of putting this team together. Or rebuilding this team.
Yeah, you know, it's you know, it's you know, it's definitely a you know, a thought you have to wonder. It's kind of like, well, what do they what do they do with it, or how do they kind of, how do they kind of work it out? But yeah, you just can't see them going, well, the Cubs did it, so I think we should go that route. But yeah,
Yeah.
I, you know,
Well,
again,
and
you never know. I mean, obviously, teams have done, goofy things for goofy reasons before.
yeah, well, and I think with his predecessor, he really had no choice because obviously what was being done before really wasn't working for them. I mean, I don't even, with the signings that Kenny made, I don't even think that once even put them really even in the running for a wild card.
Yeah, I mean,
Some of them did blow
he
up.
tried. I mean, it was one of those weird things where, anytime Kenny would make a signing, you were like, man, that looks like a really good signing. And then it just didn't work. And I mean, who knows why or what the deal was, but it, because I mean, like, we all thought, when they brought in Jeff Samardzija, he was going to be a great guy to be behind Chris Sale.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it
Oh
didn't
yeah.
work out.
No.
It was just kind of like, it just didn't happen. So, here you go, Dan. You want to laugh at my, I know you love to laugh at my technological ability. I'm on the Mickey Mouse website and somehow I changed it over into Spanish and I can't figure out how to change it back to English. So I have to work with the Spanish version of the Mickey Mouse website. So,
Well, there should be a button that says English with an I, not an E.
yeah, I keep looking for that as well, but sadly it seems to be nowhere to be found. So I'm just kind of doing my best here to give us, good old sports news in Spanish. So we are multicultural here on Sports Time Radio. So.
Well, speaking of Spanish, what's that center fielder who used to play for the Braves that I can't remember who he plays for now? He had a very
Andrew
interesting last
Jones?
name. Oh, he plays for the Diamondbacks. No, he plays for the Diamondbacks now.
AJ Pollock?
No, first name Ender.
Oh, I don't know. I have no
Ender.
idea who he is. Oh, Ender, that's his
Ender
last name? Like
Inciarte.
Ender's Game, the movie?
No, that's his. No,
So,
his first
yeah.
name is Ender. Ender
It is?
Inciarte.
So, are you
I
sure
don't know.
that's
Does he play
right?
for Arizona? Well, it's
Not
not
Encarnación or something
Encarnacion.
like that. You sure?
It's
So, it
not,
could be.
it's not Edwin Encarnacion.
That would be
It's
cool if it was.
Ender Inciarte.
Yes, Encarnación. So.
Oh. That's gonna be for your birthday, Encarnacion. I'm gonna have to custom make it. I don't know if
So.
they make his t-shirt.
Yeah, just to see how it goes. So I'm telling you, there's no way to change this back, Dan. I'm just stuck having to work with a Spanish language Mickey Mouse website. Why would they do that to me?
Ah, you did it to yourself. At least you
I
have the
did
court
actually.
days
That
on. Yeah.
that's the bad part. The sad part about it is I did it to myself. And oh well. If anybody knows how to fix this, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Just address it to the Big Jack is stupid. And we'll know exactly what that means. So that won't be a problem at all. And we will see. I guess I'll just have to get my sports news someplace else, huh? So.
Yeah. Well, but speaking of sports and Spanish, I don't know if you caught on to this a little bit last season during the baseball season, but Fox Deportes actually had some pretty nice games on a Saturday. Obviously it was in Spanish, but they weren't the same broadcast as the game of the week. Or yeah,
Oh, they had a different.
I forget what. Yeah.
Huh.
So there was a, I don't know if it was all the time. I just caught it a couple of times because obviously I'm not looking for the Spanish sports channels, but I was kind of scrolling a little farther.
Yeah.
And I remember it, Playmate was a Dodgers game that wasn't on, you know, the regular Fox or even, I forget what they call their Game of America or whatever they call their Saturday afternoon
yeah.
evening game. But it, I was kind of impressed that, you know, they kind of threw that on that network. So I ended up watching some of it. And then my wife was like, I only watch in Spanish, you know? So.
Yeah. Hey, I've been guilty of that before. I, as fast as they speak, I can only pick out certain little words and stuff that they're talking about. Yeah. You know, the main stuff, but you know, yeah, it's kind of like, oh, okay. You know, that's cool. I'll have to look for that. I know there's a, I clicked by, they do their own NFL show in Spanish language on the Fox station. So that was kind of interesting.
You know, with football kind of becoming big, I am the way it is. And then, you know, you mentioned the Spanish language kind of talk show. I still am surprised that the NFL hasn't made any kind of move. And I don't know if it's economics or cartel presence. I mean, let's not beat around the bush, but why they haven't made a move into Mexico City or even Monterrey, which is, you know, right across the border from Texas.
Yeah, well, they do seem to play that one game a year in Mexico
mm-hmm.
City that does pretty well. But I just wonder if, you know, if economically wise, it just wouldn't be the best move.
Wonder what the way NFL has to control everything, if gambling would be an issue and there would be maybe too
yeah.
much controversy coming from that team.
Well, yeah, it definitely, I mean, and obviously, you know, player safety would be at a premium. I mean, you know, you mentioned the cartel. I mean, I could imagine the uproar if, you know, God forbid a player got killed, you know, if he was ambushed and killed while trying to be kidnapped or something like that. I mean, ridiculous. You know, it's bad enough when the, you know, the baseball players have to deal with it. So,
yeah.
I could just imagine the, you know, trying to deal with that, you know, with that stuff would be a bit of a nightmare. But yeah, it's an interesting segment, or, why they haven't maybe even looked into going into Canada. You know, I mean, I know the Bills normally play a game bigger cities there. You wonder if they would explore, but they seem focused on Europe for whatever reason. All right. Dan and I have to take off, but we're coming back tomorrow at 5:30 to do it again. You know the deal while we're away, though. Check out sportstimeradio.com. Look for that new blog tomorrow morning. While you're over there, hit the link and go over to the Facebook page. But don't forget the Twitter feed, @SportsTimeRadio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well if you want to track us down. As always, big thanks for listening live. But don't forget, the podcast is available anytime you want it at tunein.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.